4 seats are up for election in the Clark County School Board, and that is a board that really never seems to operate without some kind of controversy. The latest, the Clark County District Attorney has asked board member Katie Williams to step down. For that and more, April Corbin-Gurness, Deputy Editor of the Nevada Courant, is with us. April, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So let's get this controversy out of the way. The Clark County District Attorney's Office is asking Clark County School Board member Trustee Katie Williams to voluntarily vacate her seat after finding she doesn't live in Nevada. What's really going on there?
That's basically it. I mean, school board people and school board watchers have noticed almost this entire year, at least, if not longer, that Katie Williams wasn't physically showing up to meetings. She was calling in and sort of doing it remotely. At some point, she announced that she was working for a Nebraska firm, and she made some comments about how she was traveling back and forth. But a lot of her opponents kind of said, I don't believe that. And then I believe the Review Journal posted a story where they called her office in Nebraska and said, I guess it sounds like they asked, hey, is Katie Williams, does she work there? And somebody told them, yeah, she's in the office 5 days a week. So it's hard to argue that she lives here. And so all of this has been sort of bubbling. And eventually a group of, I believe it was 5 of the trustees and some community people sent a letter to the DA's office saying, hey, you have the ability to remove her if she is breaking the law by not sitting in her seat. Please do that. And then he issued a letter last week saying, hey, you have until Monday to either vacate or we will hold a hearing and remove you, basically saying that's the writing of the wall. She hasn't publicly responded to that yet. The closest to a response she's gotten is she did tweet on Twitter or X she retweeted something that was like, say less, don't talk. So I think she's kind of alluding to the fact that she's not going to be addressing it publicly. I don't know if she's going to be fighting it. We'll have to see. But that's where things stand right now.
Yeah, there has been a push by people who realize that she is not living here anymore to go back, look to see when she was living here, and if she voted on issues when she was not living here, to vacate some of those decisions if she was the deciding vote. Is that what they're thinking about doing?
There has been no indication from the board or anybody else sort of officially that would be the case. I think there's been some reporting that it probably will not happen if you look at sort of past precedent, but we'll certainly see if someone tries to make that an issue. Somebody could, but right now it seems premature to talk about that.
If she's ousted by the district attorney of Clark County, would the board appoint somebody for the last few months of this year or how would it work? I mean, she is termed out, or she wasn't going to run anyway, so other people are running for that seat.
Correct.
What would happen till the end of the year?
Yeah, they could appoint a replacement for that, and then that person would serve until January, when the new board, because that seat is up for election, when the new board member steps in, whoever that elected person is.
Okay, now there are 4 seats up for election this year. That is a majority of the board. Only one of those candidates, Board President Evelyn Garcia Morales, is running for re-election. What do we know about the 7 other candidates?
Yeah, it's an interesting bunch. There's a few. Evelyn Garcia Morales is running against Tamika Henry. She is it's actually a rematch from 2020. Tamika Henry ran against her, so in that race. And then in the other 3 races, there's 2. The conversation really around those races has been dominated by 2 candidates who are Moms for Liberty candidates. These are candidates. If you're not familiar with Moms for Liberty, they are an anti-LGBTQ, diversity, inclusion, equity, trans kids in sports, like to push for removing books from libraries, banning books, if you will. Considered by some, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, to be an extreme group or a right-wing sort of hate group. So there's 2 candidates who were involved with them. Lorena Biasotti was the founder of the Clark County chapter. You may know her because she went by the name Lorena Cardenas during the pandemic, and she made a name for herself by showing up to public meetings in like a yellow hazmat suit, talking about parental rights and being anti-mask and anti-vaccine mandates. So she really made a name for herself then. Now she's running for school board. And then there's Lydia Dominguez, who is also running for school board, and she is a member, or she was a member of the Moms for Liberty group. Both of those candidates actually last week announced that they would be stepping away from that and sort of foregoing that. They gave
foregoing what?
Foregoing endorsements from those groups.
I see. I
think it's being read sort of publicly as maybe they are trying to step away from a group that is very controversial. Mm. But it is a fact that they were both members of that until a week ago, and one of them founded one of the groups. So there's still a very strong connection there, even if they're sort of attempting to distance themselves from it now. And the interesting thing about those two candidates is they're both running against they're running against newcomers politically who have very really long backgrounds in education. One of them, Eileen Eady, who's running against Dominguez, is a longtime educator. She's worked, I think, at least 15 years in like five different states when I spoke to her. She moved around quite a bit for her husband's work, but has worked in several school districts, has a long history of being in education. And then Camilla Bywaters, who's running against Biasotti. She's a former teacher at CCSD who did 3 years at Canyon Springs High School. Hated it, had a really bad experience, and said, what can I do to, where can I be effective and change it? So she ended up going back to school, getting a master's, working on her doctorate, still a special education licensed teacher, subs occasionally for the district, had just been working in education on sort of the advocacy side for years. So it's interesting that these two candidates who are very much running on the sort of culture wars that we see attacking the school board are running against two candidates who have really, really strong backgrounds in education.
So those two races, I think, to the voters in their district might be easy to pick from because there's some distinct differences. What about the other two races? Is it more, is it grayer?
Yeah, I think it's grayer. I mean, with the Garcia Morales versus Tamika Henry match, both of those candidates have worked in education spaces. Tamika Henry has worked in sort of political advocacy, pushing for Head Start programming, which helps low-income kids. And she's pushed for family medical leave and stuff and sort of issues that like that. But really, that race, I think, is going to come down to whether or not people are frustrated with Garcia Morales for the job that she's done on the board. Like you mentioned, she's gotten a lot of pushback for sort of supporting Jesus Jara, the former superintendent, and for being key to some of the power that the board has given away and the lack of oversight. But again, those issues existed in 2020 when these two women faced each other in that race, and Garcia Morales won that race. It was 53% to 47%, so not even particularly close. So voters were happy with her then. How much has changed in the last 4 years? That will be the question, but we'll certainly see.
And I haven't seen any polling on these races, mm-hmm. but is there any indication about who is the strongest in those four races? Who's coming out ahead so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, if I look at the Bywaters and Biasotti race in particular, if you look at endorsements, Bywaters has about 100 more endorsements. I'm exaggerating, but only slightly. She has a long list of union support and education groups and all sorts of groups that you would expect. And then Biasotti basically doesn't list any on her campaign endorsement. She obviously had Moms for Liberty until she stepped away from it. But and Bywaters, if you look at their campaign finance report, has raised a lot more money for her campaign. But historically, it doesn't matter in these sort of really down ballot races. There was a candidate who actually ran against Katie Williams when she was on the ballot. He out fundraised her and he out got so many more endorsements than her, and she still won. So these school board races, I think because they're so far down ballot and people don't know who these people are necessarily, it's a lot harder to predict based off of endorsements. And so we'll have to see.
What about the race between Eileen Eady and Lydia Dominguez?
Yeah, I mean, again, if you look at the chatter and people talking about that, it's a lot of there's certainly a lot of vocal people who are upset about having any Moms for Liberty candidates, and we've seen that. And Eady sort of been in front of that, being like, "Hey, I'm the candidate against all of that," which is good. But whether or not that registers to the broader general public, that's the big question. Because a lot of these things, and I'll be the first to say that as someone who follows the school board and is in those spaces, it is a smaller community of people who are following all of these issues. And how much of that has translated to the general public when they're already being inundated by so many top ballot, higher ballot things is really a crapshoot.
You really made it clear. Endorsements don't always mean anything. But the Clark County Education Association is a mega institution, a mega teachers union. Have they endorsed anybody?
Yeah, they have not released their full list of endorsements. And last week when I asked them if they had, they had not released all of that. They did previously endorse Tamika Henry. So I think it's fairly safe to assume that they will probably also be backing her this time around. They also have been CCA has also been very critical of Garcia Morales. So it's pretty clear that they're not going to endorse her in that race. They have not weighed in on the other races. As far as I'm aware, and then the other major education group in the state, Nevada State Education Association, they have endorsed in all four races. They've endorsed Emily Stevens, Eileen Eady, Tamika Henry, and Camilla Bywaters. So they have weighed in, and that's the non-Moms for Liberty candidates, and then the others by out.
Hey, you know, probably the most consequential decision the trustees are going to make is finding a new superintendent. Are any of the candidates talking about that on the campaign trail?
Absolutely. When I've spoken to the candidates so far, they say it's one of the first things that voters ask them about, even though that decision will ultimately be made by the sitting board currently, because it's on track to be decided by the end of October, so prior to the election. But it is a topic, obviously, that a lot of parents care about and a lot of, like, stakeholders care about. So they're being asked about that a lot. And they certainly have a lot of opinions about that, about wanting someone who is really going to listen to the board and hopefully have a positive relationship there. And there'll be a series of meetings, and I'm sure that a lot of those candidates will be there speaking their mind and weighing in on that also.
April Corbin-Gurnas is deputy editor of the Nevada Courant. April, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.